Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Political expert Mike Murphy is joining us, and we get very in-depth about Trump and the candidates and what could happen and what may happen and what needs to happen first. Oh, and of course, the news as well. LifeLock, average U.S. household contains 17 smart devices. How about that? And many vulnerabilities allowing attackers to remotely access them. Internet-connected security cameras account for almost half of the smart devices compromised by hackers. Let's not let that be you. So many threats in today's connected world. Just takes one weak link for criminals to get in, and they get your personal information. You're exposed, and they use it to commit identity theft. Then you're in trouble, and you can't unring that bell. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's 2019. Let's get some LifeLock, people. Come on, Dawson.
Norton prevents all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you may miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
Adam Carolla is unprepared this weekend at the Canyon in Montclair, Pasadena, and Agoura Hills.
This is a fun one. Delusional.
Delusional. I do feel like that's something that's going around more and more these days. Maybe it started with pets. In the past, animals were pretty much either beasts of burden or we ate them. Either you got to pull my fat ass up this canyon side or I'm going to eat you. Or both. When you run out of gas dragging my fat ass up the side of this hill, then I'll eat you.
Friday in Montclair, Saturday in Pasadena, and Sunday in Agoura Hills. Adam Carolla is unprepared this weekend at the Canyon. Saturday and Sunday with Adam Ray. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Well, we're back with Mike Murphy. He's a political consultant and an analyst as well. Timing is good for you in this show. The has a podcast, Hacks on Taps, with Mike Murphy and David Axelrod, a couple of names you know, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. Good to meet you, Mike.
It's good to meet you, and good to be here at the revolutionary cradle of podcasting, man. I'm a fan.
Well, thank you. So what do we need to know about what's going on? Now, you're Republican, but you're no Trump fan.
Yeah, I've been anti-Trump since about 91. You know, Johnny come lately.
You're a lifer.
No. I got like membership card number 3.
Before it was cool.
Exactly. Well, I was working. I was a political advisor for the governor of New Jersey, Christine Todd Whitman, that done her campaigns and all that. And he showed up in Atlantic City. And it was a long, long day at the office to deal with them. So I'm a conservative. I've been running Republican campaigns for almost 30 years. I don't really do the candidate stuff anymore because it just wears you out to travel. But I had a hell of a run, and I'm pretty vocally anti-Trump. So
what is going – it seems to me that Trump has gotten everybody agitated and insane. I don't really know much about politics, but if I was running against Trump, I would be saying, don't we all want a break? Like, don't we all want to take – we want to get off the merry-go-round, right? Aren't we tired of all the fighting and all the agitated? Let's just like – we've been living in a snow globe in a paint can shaker for what'll be 4 years. Right. Don't we want it to just settle down. And we can just get about our lives? Yeah. So that would be kind of my – what I would be running on, a kind of a Joe Biden, sort of a centrist, like, remember how it used to be? Let's get back to that.
Right.
But folks are going hard left, and now they may be shooting themselves in their own foot, because I feel like people are going, well, I'll go back in the snow globe if it means free everything and socialism. Right. Is that accurate?
It's become this arms race of, oh, he thinks he can be crazy. We're show him crazy. We're going to out-crazy him on the left. And it's nuts. I agree. There's Trump fatigue. Every poll shows it. You know, it's like watching 100 Gallagher shows. By number 99, you're screaming
for
river. You want
more. You can't get enough.
Yeah, the watermelon, please. Yeah. Can I go home? Enough. I want to sleep.
So is Nancy Pelosi sort of saying to the Gang of Four or whatever, is Nancy kind of going, would you please come back in here, mellow out, Yeah. Let's win an election and then we can go nuts. Like, is that what she's thinking?
Yeah. What she's trying to do is she says, look, since the time Trump got sworn in, we Democrats have done well in every election. The country's trying to cough this guy up. They've had it with him. Why do we have to get in the way with the woke-a-thon? And we're going to run on a campaign of we're going to take away your private insurance, union member or corporate employee. We're going to open the border so you walk over. It's not illegal. And we're going to have reparations for slavery. That's how we're going to win back Macomb County north of Detroit. And she knows that's crazy. But the passion of the primary voters who push the process, or at least the most visible ones like the Squad, these candidates are being cowed by that. It's like the Frankenstein mob. You know, they're afraid to get in front and say, call the sheriff.
Are they – is there such a thing – because I know nothing about how this works. Could Nancy Pelosi say, look, let's get a few people together, get the squad together, get Joe Biden and Buttigieg and whatever. Let's all get into one room and just let's make a plan. The plan is we got to beat Trump. You guys are kind of out doing your own thing over here. That's kind of hurting the cause. Could we just fake it till we make it over here? Make America sane again. Yeah. Let's not have
any of the slogans.
Good hat.
Let's not have the craziness of the open borders and stuff. People don't want that. Or maybe we'll do it, but let us get in power first.
Let's fake it for a year, okay? Then we can have the crazy off once we run everything. This is why the political boss era actually worked pretty well, because all the decisions were sane.
Right.
What we have now is the squad will say, no, you don't understand, Nancy. The way we win is passion. You know, we need a good folk song. We're going to mobilize everybody. And they believe their way is how to win. So I think what will be interesting, next week we got another bunch of these debates. Mm-hmm. And I think you may see some of the candidates, now that they've had time to do a little polling and find a little courage, they may take a look at this and say, you know, the polling says when we talk to the actual primary voters, only about half of them are off on the super woke, super lefty train. The rest are waiting for somebody to say, and I think Biden may try to do it, maybe others, hey, wait a minute. You're going to give the election to Trump, and I'm not going to ask every union member in America to tear up their insurance coverage. So I think that fight's about to break out in the party. They were too chicken in the last debate, but I think those wheels are turning. And they better, because if the country wants to fire Trump, all the Democrats have to do is get out of the way. Yet, they're getting in the way. They're giving Trump something to work with.
Right, which sounds... I don't know.
It's crazy.
Well, we grew up thinking politicians were smart. You get older and you're like, oh my God, they're not smart. Like I used to think of them as wise.
Sure.
You know,
I was going to Georgetown and I was head of the college Republicans, so I scarfed the best internship for myself, lesson one of politics. And I showed up at the House recording studio in the early 80s and there were three congressmen there, each taping a 30-minute show where he'd interview his two buddies about how great his accomplishments were. And they'd send it back to local cable. So we had a big celebrity guest, Dave Prowse, who was the British Mr. Olympia inside the Darth Vader suit.
Yeah, right.
Star Wars
David
was
Prowse,
there. Yeah. So one of the members of Congress, and I'm sitting there wide-eyed college kid, who'd been in a couple of terms, said, anybody get hurt on the set from the laser sword? Does British Army know about that? You thought
pretty
it was
dangerous.
Real. Yeah. And I'm looking around thinking, you know, a career in politics, there might be room.
Recently, the Al Franken expose came out. I think different people have different thoughts about it. My thought is always, I don't think timing should have anything to do with how your career goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it should have something to do if you, there was a dietary chocolate called AIDS. And at some point, there's a killer disease called AIDS, and there's nothing we can do about that company going down. But like, if you're Al Franken in the zeitgeist is everyone is pointing fingers at everyone and accusing them of sexual harassment and you just patted someone on the ass, I don't think you should get shit canned from your job. But you do talk to some people and they go, oh no, there's other things that we don't know about.
Right.
What do we know about Al Franken?
Yeah, I read the article, and look, again, I'm a right-wing nut, but I'm homeless, because Trump's not a conservative, and we are having a socialist off, so I'm going to wind up in a clock tower at the end of this. But, it's hard to hold this one together for me, but...
Wait, because of the time change, because you have a hunting rifle, you're
Brown?
Insane?
No, no carbine, I promise.
Be clear.
But, I think Al did get kind of a bum deal, but it was one of those moments of the mob. And when you get the media and ambitious politicians together and there's a thing and a poster person for that thing pops up, they rush to trial and it's like a hanging mob. And that's what happened to him. And again, at this debate, not that I want to plug it that much because it's going to be endless, but Kristen Gillibrand, the senator from New York, who's one of the 1% ham and egg candidates who really don't need to be there. She was the architect of the lynching, and off that, she may get a hard question, and for the first time be put on defense. And it's about time, you know, for her to justify. Yeah.
Right. Well, the thing is you're not allowed to just jump into the mob, tar and feather people, and run them out of town without answering some questions at some point, which would be nice. So what about the Mueller report? Hearing. Did you watch that?
And I couldn't. 7 hours. You know, I work in this racket, and it drove me crazy. Yeah. I listened to about half an hour of it. And Hex and Tap, Axelrod and I, you know, we've been fighting each other in campaigns for a long time, but we're friends in real life for 30 years, so we do this kind of old grumps on a bar stool, what's really going on thing in this new podcast. And we predicted that, you know, there'd be the Dems would try to get – the Dems always want an Aaron Sorkin movie. They want Mueller to walk in his Marine uniform with the Bronze Star and say, let's go arrest
you
that
can't
son
handle
of a
the
bitch right now. Right. I'm going to get him. Standing ovation music. It doesn't work that way. Mueller's been sending big signals from the beginning. Look, it's all in the report. He's kind of an asshole. Did a lot of bad stuff. My job said I do not even get to decide whether or not to charge him because he's president of the United States. You know who can charge him? You know the cops are in this? The Congress. So read the damn report. But they wanted the optics, and he wouldn't give them to them. And the Republicans, to their shame, and you know, I've worked for that cause for 30 years, were making up this lie that somehow he's been cleared. He hasn't been cleared. They're up to their neck in Russians. So both sides wanted a show they didn't get, and Mueller came off like Abe Vigoda, you know, not as sharp as they were expecting, so it wasn't so good for him either. So it was kind of a train wreck, and nothing changed.
It was clear that he didn't want to go through this process. Right. I don't know, other than Michael Avenatti, who does want to go through this process. Like, they're probably only – Mark Garagos probably only a handful of sociopaths.
Yeah, small slice of humanity.
I'll see Mark tomorrow. But, I mean, there's a handful of people that are attracted to this process. Yeah. For most people, it's like, oh, my God, no. Mm-hmm. You know, 7 hours of grilling. Yeah. If you're encyclopedic, you'll never have the right answer half the time.
Yeah.
He seemed like he knew what he was capable of, and he did not feel like he was up to this task. He felt like we took a 40-something-year-old heavyweight and coaxed him back into the ring and went, come on, champ. And they were like, I don't want to fight this 28-year-old. And sure enough, he didn't have his good stuff. The jab wasn't snapping.
Right.
And I don't know what the process is. Like, I don't know if there's a vetting. Like, I know the Democrats want to do. Couldn't there be a closed-door meeting where they sat down with him and went, it doesn't seem like we're going to get what we want or he's going to be able to provide what we want, and so maybe we should scrub this? Or did they go through that vetting process?
You know, they could have done that, but they wanted the TV show. And Mueller kept saying, you know, I'm not going to play in that. I'm the accountant. I'm going to show you the balance sheet with the bad numbers. You call the cops if you want a cop. I'm not a cop. But they wanted the moment. And remember, in their politics internally, and same on the Republican side, they've got 20 egomaniacs who are out buying a new suit for their big moment on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it was, that was a hard thing to not have happen.
I like this clock thing, and I wish I had it in my own life.
Okay.
Like everyone is on the clock. Like, Gina, you play my wife, Lynette.
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
Wow, that's good.
That's pretty good.
You accused me of cheating last weekend, and then we'll see how it goes. Go ahead.
Hey, so I heard some things, and I'm just going to come out and talk about it with you. I think you might have stepped out on me last Saturday night, and I'd like to hear about it from you.
What page is that on?
No, I'm sorry. If you could just answer my question, because it's pretty clear and pretty direct.
I'm sorry, what was your question?
Yeah, I think you screwed another lady last weekend, and I would like you to answer for this.
Oh my God, will you just say yes or no?
You're driving me insane. Oh. I thought I was already enraged.
So I'm sorry, repeat the question.
Are you screwing another woman?
Oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Oh my God.
Mommy, what are you and Dad talking about?
There's a guy, Love the Hammer, who's next. Yeah, go ahead. You love my movie?
When you were making your excellent film, The Hammer, what were you thinking?
Glad you asked that, champ.
I'm sorry.
I was trying to capture.
I'd like to reclaim my time.
He has 20 seconds left, he can grant you the time.
No, you had never even tried to answer my question.
You're not even in Congress.
Did you cheat on me with Carol last weekend?
What page was that? I don't know what page you're referring to.
I just want an answer, yes or no.
I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Back to The Hammer.
It's great because he'd ask poor people like, did you see the Mueller? Did you see the Steele dossier before you began the report? And he's like, what was that again?
No, exactly.
It was perfect, and then you just run the clock out. It's like the four corner in college basketball, man. Before they had the clock, they just run it out.
He didn't want to be anybody's bumper sticker.
No, he did not.
He told them all going in, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll compel you. And, okay, you know, I'll give you the mob testimony, yes, no, don't remember. You know,
it seemed, but I don't know how it works, but he was asked about like the Steele dossier like 500 times. And he's like, I can't answer that. But if it's the Steele dossier is what got or part of what began the whole probe in the first place, why can't he answer that? Well, or why isn't he compelled to answer it?
So part of the challenge for him is the investigatory power he had. And by the way, I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on cable TV occasionally. He has access to all the CIA and FBI stuff, some of which is classified. So we can't say, well, you know, Putin's got a special mirror room and we bugged it, and so therefore we know when he called Zorkin off. So there's stuff he can't talk about, particularly to those guys. The Steele dossier is one of these things because political researchers paid a very credible ex-British spy for an intelligence dossier. So they're doing the old political trick. Well, if the money came from politics, it's corrupt and can't be believed. Well, maybe not. And whatever he's got to corroborate it, clearly, you know, for various security legal reasons he didn't want to talk about. They're trying to find, it's the old trick, you know, there are 400 pages of bad stuff, but you find the one disqualifying thing. Isn't it true that typist did 4 years for check fraud who wrote the report for you? Yes. Well, then it's totally disqualifying. You know, they're looking for the little stuff, and Steele is one of the things they think they can.
One of the things the Republicans do, which always feels like, when they're trying to talk about, like, well, you assembled all these Democratic lawyers to work on this case and no Republicans. And they always do this number of like, somebody gave $2,800 to the Hillary campaign. I'm always $2,800, that's a sectional sofa. Like, does that mean you're bought and paid
for? That's a fun weekend.
$2,800, you go down to Pechanga, drop that. All right, Gina, you play my wife again.
Okay.
This time you want to know why I'm not spending more time talking and going out with my daughter.
Yeah, I can't help but notice that Natalia's just been sitting around a lot. She's been asking for you, and you're really nowhere to be found. Why don't you spend some time with her?
I'm sorry, what page are we talking about?
Yeah, you know, your daughter? Your daughter, Natalia? The one that's constantly going, where's my daddy?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I'd like to know why you're spending zero time with your daughter, who loves you and misses
you. I'm
sorry,
we're out of time.
Oh, my God.
The floor recognizes the congressman from Texas. Yes, Mr. Krull, first of all.
You want to talk about vintage racing?
Huge fan. Well, you took the words out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. What do you love about vintage racing? And please, go ahead and take as much time as you need.
Oh, boy. First off, the sights, the sound, the adrenaline rush.
Are you aware that you have a daughter?
I'm sorry. What
Not
page?
Just a
out of order. Out
I'm
of
sorry,
order.
What page is this?
You have two kids.
Could you repeat that? I don't know.
Yeah, pictures. No, it's ragging the puck, as they say in Canada, and it's how you survive one of those hearings. But the needle didn't move.
He didn't say anything that, posterized him or bumper stickered him or anything like that. On the other hand, all the coverage I was watching left and right was, ooh, it's kind of sad. And which I don't know if I would want that to be the horse I rode out on.
The sad horse.
Yeah, I agree. It was one of these things where the myth had been built up. Because, look, the truth is the guy's the stud. You look at his war record and everything.
Right.
He was Elliot Ness. But he deliberately stayed out of the public eye. So then the public circus gets him. The Dems all think he's 9 feet tall. He's going to come in and arrest Trump. And again, you get Abe Vigoda there, who kind of is looking at his watch, when's lunch, his oatmeal day. So bad for everybody. time to change the channel. Now, look, the truth is, if they want, they can't impeach Trump. They got the votes.
Sure.
But then it goes to a trial in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
they don't have the votes.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is, my analogy would be, the beautiful Aston Martin out there vanishes one day. And you're like, what the hell's going on? Bring in a PI to look at everything, figure out who the hell the
J.J. Arms.
J.J. Arms.
Yeah, J.J. Arms comes in and it gives you the evidence, and then you decide to call the cops or not. And then you find out that the guy you think did it, all his uncles are judges.
Right.
And so we got to go to trial, or can we just fire him in a year when his contract's up? And
well,
that's the question.
I think we learned from Clinton that we may, so Trump is like one of those monsters that eats electricity. And, you know, you think he's going to bite down on the power lines and die.
But it's been said many times.
He grows bigger, you know.
Secrets and of the,
so
yeah.
Him being impeached and then winning, you know, not being impeached, him... The gang, sorry, the squad and everything like that. All that stuff just devours
fuel.
It.
Yeah,
it's fuel. And,
yeah, totally.
And really what he will do is he will sort of wither in space. Like, just give him room.
Right.
He'll send out some dumb tweets and he'll kind of, but we keep fertilizing him.
Yeah.
We keep watering him. Right. Like, they keep coming at him and they really just needed to step away. Let his tweet speak, and then just go middle. Go get Uncle Joe in there, and go. We're going to come back to a nice civil time.
Yeah, it's what you said earlier. If they really want to kill him, nominate the most boring, competent candidate ever. And don't engage him.
And
in
don't
his
get
stuff.
In the ring with him. Let him punch in the air.
Right, exactly.
Stop giving him something to push against.
But they're having a party in their primary voters who participate, where they all want the Che Guevara T-shirts and we're going to teach him a lesson on our terms. You know, the problem the D's have is they could go run L.A. County and, you know, San Francisco 5 points higher. Doesn't matter, because California is going to be for the Democrat. They got to get cranky old white guys who went to high school to move off Trump. They don't need them all, but they can shave 10%, they win. And the formula they got now, because all their primary voters are in the Che Guevara berets, is the opposite of what they need to be doing.
What's McCain like, or what was he like, Jeb Bush and Schwarzenegger, in terms of working with those guys?
That squad.
It was fun. McCain was almost impressive. I was on a bus with him for 200 days in 2009. I liked him because he would occasionally pull like a Cagney quote out. I mean, I remember once we were in some single helix town somewhere in the South, and the local guys had put up three breakfasts together. And so we get in late, you know, campaign plan 2 in the morning. We go to the crap hotel at 2:15 in the morning. He's there in his underwear, and we're like, hey, Senator, we screwed up. You got to be out of here at 5 a.m. for three breakfasts in a row. And he just looked and said, three breakfasts in a row. We thought, oh, we're going to get it. And we felt horrible. He goes, I'm going to do that standing on my head.
Yeah.
Then he almost got me killed at the Marine Hall, because breakfast number 2 were these old South Carolina gunnery sergeants.
Mm-hmm.
And he got up for the intro, and I'm the staff guy with the two other guys standing in the corner. And he says, my campaign guy gave me a great joke. He said, I couldn't have been a Marine. My parents were married. You know, and 28, Jesus. You know, stone cold killers look over, and I'm literally thinking, they're old, but can I get to the car? You know, so McCain was fun. Jeb's a great guy. He's a wonk. You know, Jeb is Mr. Policy, big heart, not a showboat guy. And Arnold's Arnold, you know.
What that means.
Yeah.
Well, no. He was fun, but he was learning that he thought show business in the 80s was crazy. Well, welcome to politics.
Mm.
But he had a knack at it, and many adventures.
Was Arnold coachable, or did he have his sort of I know what I'm doing kind of
so
way of
this is things? What surprised me, because I showed up about 10 days in when the thing was wobbling a little at the beginning. I was the out-of-state guy from D.C. And we go to this event, and Arnold doesn't really have the shtick yet. But, you know, we're pulling huge crowds and everything. And he pulls me in the meat locker, this, like, resort hotel. And it's weird when you talk to Arnold, because he does the old secret police trick of not talking. And you're, like, staring at us like, damn it. But he said, look, here's what I tell my directors. I'm a fiend for repetition. I'll do a scene 200 times from weightlifting. I want to get it right. So be very blunt with me and tell me exactly, you know, what you're trying to get done here. And I'll decide. And after that, it was fantastic. You know, we had a writing crew. Every day he'd have some material. He'd memorize it. He'd go out there, hit the mark, and deliver it. We at the convention, the famous speech, we got in a beef with Karl Rove. Because at the Republican convention, Arnold had a line. And they wanted to cut the line. And we were the big star. And they said, if you don't play ball, because I was there saying, no, we're having this fight. And he said, we're turn off the teleprompter. And I was like, look, we're in the prompter practice room. He goes, I don't need the prompter. Because he had run the thing on his own prompter 300 times and had every word. Prompter, you know, and this is, or I can get on my plane and leave. He was impressive.
Yeah, it's interesting. Showbiz. Like, guys with their backgrounds, if you are a bodybuilder and, like, the level he did it at, it's all about repetition, and it's all about mind over matter, and it's all about discipline, and it's all about pushing through pain. Like, you're going to have a hard worker.
He told me once, you know, I didn't really want to be a bodybuilding champion. I go, well, why the hell did you? He goes, well, I wanted to be a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You saw him.
There, yeah.
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 Do you have time for me to float a theory that I've been holding on to for a little while, and Mike Murphy is the perfect guy to tell me if I'm totally off base?
Don't ask me about Roswell. I can't talk
about that. Not at all. Okay. This actually pertains to political candidates. Maybe it's Ms. Cal talking, but I'd like your opinion on this, because I felt for years that we're talking about Joe Biden and pretending to vis-a-vis him, Bernie Sanders. I always feel like beware of the candidate in waiting. Beware of the heir apparent. Beware of the obvious nominee that will blow up in your face, whether it's Bob Dole or Al Gore or John McCain in 2008 or Hillary Clinton. The person that is the heir apparent, hand him the nomination. Don't do it, because that will not go well for you. It's always the person that kind of comes out of nowhere, or the new face, or the fresh face, or the threat to fresh air, whatever it is.
If you're Democrat, don't give them either side.
Yeah, the Bob Dole, who is the obvious candidate, you get blown up.
Yeah, I think there's some truth in that.
We're done here.
Never let them walk to the nomination, because then they're not in fighting shape when they get to the real deal. They got to earn it. They got to either go through a crisis. Biden's got one now. You know, he got his ass kicked in the last debate. He's got a rematch in this debate. We better see something, or he's not going to make it to Christmas.
Is Bernie Sanders has the woke people just caught up to him? Like, he used to stand out because he was so radical.
Right.
Now he's not. There's five people's radicals. He is now, and now he's lost his edge. Is that?
Yeah, I think, you know, they've seen the act.
Right.
And now you got Elizabeth Warren, who is not a white guy, younger, sharper, a lot of the same policy stuff. So she's a better version. And if you look at the polling so far, she's been eating away at his support.
And Kamala, right?
Yeah, Kamala's moving in on that stuff too. So but this thing, the hardest lesson you learn doing it is the national polls are corks on the water based on what's on cable TV last week.
Right.
Because, you know, the way they cover it, and I work for one of them, but everything's to Hindenburg. Every day is the biggest day in the campaign, emergency poll. The early voters in Iowa and New Hampshire, they are the tidal wave that moved the national polling.
What's your early prediction? We won't hold you to it right now. Who do the Dems put up, and how do they do against Trump? And then I think you had a theory about Trump dumping Biden. Pence. So all that. What do you got?
Well, I've been wrong a lot. It's an unlicensed business. I predicted that Hillary would win the popular vote and beat him last time.
Everybody did, though.
Yeah, that's what all the polling said. And the polling was actually right about the popular vote. Anyway, right now, watch Elizabeth Warren, because like in the Hollywood version, she's a multi-quadrant deal, not a white dude. A fighter, which is what they're looking for, and liberal cuckoo economics, from my point of view. She's holding a lot of cards and running a smart campaign, though the idea of somebody that left being president is a nightmare. I think Kamala Harris, if she can get out of Iowa in the top three, because when the race heads south, the voters, there are a lot more African-American voters, will get on the bandwagon. Kamala's problem, which is the kind of stuff we talk about, because this is what all the political operatives know, is she's very good with the setup piece, like at the debate, but on her feet, bit of a train wreck. Mm-hmm. She's already taken three different positions on where she is on getting rid of, you know, private health insurance. So half this game is being good in the set pieces, where you have your chunk. Mm-hmm. The other half is good on your feet with 300 reporters trying to kill you every day of the week. Mm-hmm. And that's where I don't know if her act will continue. And then finally, Biden's in trouble. But he has a lot of body weight. You know, if he can have a bit of a comeback, he's kind of the safe guy. And then finally, there's Pete Bennett of Colorado, this Bullock guy from Montana who's nobody's seen yet till this debate, who won a Trump state, a big Trump state. He's good. Long shot. But maybe one of those one percenters will break through.
Are we over Cory Booker? You think someone's going to pick him up as a VP?
You know, no, he's a performer. You know, so even though he's not selling tickets yet in Iowa, he's out working. He's got some money, not a lot. So he's got about 100 days to make something happen. Because what happens to these guys, you're running two campaigns. You're out in Iowa and New Hampshire begging for votes with, you know, they're everywhere, other candidates. And you're convincing people to keep giving you $2,000, even though cable TV is laughing at you and you're 1%. So you need to have something happen to raise the money to pay for the voter campaign at the end of the year. So they're all on kind of a death clock till, you know, October,
and
November.
Can they beat Trump? And can Trump be accurately polled? I feel like we get into trouble with polls and Trump because there's a portion of society that goes, I'm not voting for that guy. And then they go vote for that guy. I think it happened already.
Is that the Bradley effect?
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to ask a question on
Milton
polls.
Or the fighting vehicle? Yeah.
Where,
Tom Bradley.
I think that's what he was.
I mean, if there was ever somebody, especially with a woman running against Trump, you go, I'm definitely going to vote for her. I don't want to get kicked out of this cocktail party.
Trick question on polling. You know, is there any members of your family you think might be a little racist? And 99% would say, hell no. What about your neighbors? Oh, those sons of bitches are the most racist people. Yeah, okay.
Can we accurately poll Trump?
Yeah. Where they got it wrong last time was they polled the popular vote. Mm-hmm. Instead of the states, because of the old College of Electricians thing that, spread. That's what my relatives in Detroit all call it. So this time we have a lot of state polling, and my guess is the media will get it a little more right. Trump is in a cul-de-sac. He's sitting there. I mean, he owns grumpy old white guys. I should demographically be for him. But that only gets him about 41, 42% of the vote, and he's got that ceiling. But if the Democrats give him a big toolbox – mm-hmm. where he can scare college-educated white suburbanites who think he's tacky and horrible and a racist. If he can scare them back because they don't want socialist America, he can win. If left to natural devices and the Democrats get out of the way, the odds are the country will fire them. They've been trying to. But the Dems hold a lot of it in their hands.
Mm. But didn't it feel like Hillary kind of tried to do that, kind of tried to stay out of the way, lay low, and let him hang himself, and it didn't work because she wasn't fighting?
Yeah, but Hillary,
I'm sure there's a big difference there, but I'd love for you to explain it.
Yeah, well, part of it was it's so easy in a campaign to run a campaign pointed at people like you. Like if I saw another ad in the Hillary campaign of a young, blonde, 11-year-old girl gazing up at Hillary, the first female president thing was baked in. Didn't need ads. Right. She was going to get every vote on that frequency. She needed, like, guys bending metal in Detroit who are dismantling machine tools and putting them on flat cars to Mexico, and Trump's talking to and saying they're stealing your jobs, the Chinese are, they're sending in rapists and killers and all that, and she's in a big fight about gender bathrooms in North Carolina. It's very hard to get a campaign to think about campaigning to the voters it's uncomfortable with, but those are exactly the voters you need to go steal some. And that was the lesson they didn't have. And it looks like the Dems, they ought to read the diaries of the Hillary campaign because they're missing it again.
You've done this before.
Too long.
Let me hit Casserole Edge and then we'll break and we'll do some news. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Casserole Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from rubbing each other. Three times, fool. Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is the best. It's Castrol Edge, formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. All right, we'll take a quick break. We shall come back. We'll do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, some big Jeffrey Epstein news coming out from Tuesday. Was found in his cell nearly unconscious with injuries to his neck after a possible suicide attempt, according to sources. Epstein was discovered by guards sprawled out on the floor at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, where he's being held without bail on sex trafficking charges. The multimillionaire financier was taken to a nearby hospital. Unclear how he suffered this neck injury. Investigators believe he may have done it to himself, either on purpose or as a ploy to get transferred out of jail, also possible that he was attacked by another inmate.
Could have been trying to blow himself.
Also possible.
He is addicted to sex.
Pretty dry in there.
They should leave some shoelaces around in case guys like that want to kill themselves. You know what I mean?
Well, that was the debate I was listening to on KFI today. It's like, first of all, one said, you never, ever let this guy get even close to killing himself. You know, we want names. We want answers. Let's get those first. And someone else is like, but why? Just let him do himself in and let's move on with our lives. He's clearly terrible.
Yes. Agreed. And then also, you realize what prison is to those guys. You know, like, you take my dad growing up, prison would be a lateral move. Like, yeah, at least we got some air conditioning.
Four hots and a cot.
Yeah, like this guy's used to islands and jets and Clinton and Trump, but this is a tough. That's a fast free fall.
They're going to put him in one of those anti suicide blankets, and just leave him there.
Yeah,
the no Velcro. And
Mike Murphy, what do you know about Epstein? He must have been active, a known entity in your era.
You know, believe it or not, of all the creepy rich guys I've gotten to meet behind the scenes of American politics for a long time, I never crossed my path. Mm-hmm. And I'm like yawning at the fact he tried to off himself. He seems like Satan. Maybe put him in solitary with Madoff, and whoever survives can have 3 hours in Vegas or something and put him back.
And also, there's a guy on the west side here that had a couple of guys die in his apartment.
Oh, yeah, the producer dude. Yeah, I don't remember the name.
There was somebody here who was on the west side. He wasn't a politician, but he was a Democratic supporter or something. And he's had a couple of young dudes die in his apartment. He didn't get into trouble for the first one. I guess the second one.
He did like 10 years of this. He was like a big D donor and he met a given Republican, but he was mostly a Dem, and he was like an agent or a Hollywood guy. And it was like a parade of homicides.
Everyone on the West Side is a big D donor.
It's true.
There's a secret club.
Ed Buck's his name. Yeah. It's kind of like when your first wife drowns, no one accuses you of anything. Yeah. But about the third wife, people start asking questions. Yeah. Put some of that non-skid tape on the tub, would you, at a certain point?
Yeah. It's the Jerry Lee Lewis thing. I think he's like his third dead wife. And maybe something's up.
Well, if anybody tried to go to the DMV on Wednesday, they were standing in a line. No big deal. We're used to that. But the California DMV shut down all the offices Wednesday morning for a four-hour training session on processing the new Real ID driver license. But it was also about making the office more customer-friendly, according to CBS. The training prepared more than 5,000 DMV employees to efficiently process those Real IDs, which take more time, are more complicated.
Can you imagine running that training seminar?
God.
This is a murderer's row of the worst high school
students.
Untrainable. Least trainable human beings in history. Like, we need the bottom 3% of every high school in North America. They shall end up like going through a Dumbo funnel, and it'll be spit out into this one building. And now I'm going to try to impart wisdom and information into this unteachable group who landed here.
Would you like to know how they were trained? Because it's exactly how you train first graders.
With tasers.
They must
gnaw on the computer keyboard.
I mean, they must use like stuffed animals, like what they do with kids that were abused. You know, they
show
point
me on the bunny
at the part of the customer you don't like.
Electricity, dangerous.
No touch. Imagine teaching that group.
It was a lateral move from that. They did role-playing exercises, how to present a kinder, gentler face to the public.
Let me explain how that first salvo went. All right, we're doing some role playing. Sticky bun, cinnamon. What kind of rolls are we talking about?
Buttered.
Yeah, we love rolls.
Yeah. And this was common because we did stories about how all these people got their real IDs and all these people got mail saying it's invalid. I was one of them. Way after the story, they're still processing bad IDs. So maybe you crew now will
have
different luck.
I have the weird shame of domestically having to pull out my passport everywhere because my license has expired. Yeah. I can't make an appointment at a DMV out in Los Angeles because they're all overbooked and the computers are screwed up and you can't do anything online.
2.5 short weeks.
So I'm going to do a race at Laguna Seca. So I made an appointment at a DMV that's in, Pebble Beach or Monterey, where I can go in and get my license renewed there, but I can't do it here. But going through airports and stuff, now I'm pulling out my thing, but I'm just flying. I flew from Portland to Burbank, and I'm pulling out my passport.
I just did it, and it was the same thing, multiple appointments. And then you get there, and it's clearly the instructors also do the prison guards because they just assume the worst in people.
Sure.
So it's down to barking and pointing and
everything. Sure.
And it could all be an app if they had their act together.
That's right.
But they don't.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, they could. They don't care.
Yeah, they have a union.
They're not incentivized. Yeah. Are they in a union?
Pretty much in a state like this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That explains a lot.
That's why there's so many. Yeah.
Well, 27 children have been removed from the youth treatment ranch in northwest Montana.
What goes on there?
After multiple allegations of abuse, the ranch's license has been suspended. It's been closed. So here's some of the allegations. Kids were hit, kicked, body slammed, spit on. Children were kept in prolonged isolation. They were sent on 15 to 20 mile disciplinary walks. Food was withheld as punishment. I was like, are these like juvie
kids?
What's the camp
I think
for?
So, yeah. This is a ranch for kids founded in 2004 to help at-risk adopted children and their families. Haven't these kids been through enough?
The long hikes are good. I don't mind
20
that.
Miles in Montana in the summer?
Downhill.
All downhill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too long. But the discipline and stuff is all good. That part's good. I don't like the spitting part. Little body slamming is fine. Who's doing this?
What do you mean?
Who's running the camp?
The DMV.
Yeah, probably. And I don't know if Montana is the same, but like Idaho is kind of one of those sort of protected states when it comes to those youth facilities. Montana might be the same, where
they really have a state law that's a little bit, you know, you pick your word,
a little
you know,
friendly to the facility.
Old school, little medieval. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Hungarian swimmer Krzysztof Milak.
Yeah.
You heard about this?
No.
Okay.
I just have a grandfather in Hungarian.
Won the 200-meter butterfly at the World Swimming Championships on Wednesday.
Oh, Logan Paul's going to break his record,
That's
actually.
Right. Of course, sub 9. Mm-hmm. But it gets better. He broke Michael Phelps' world record in the process. This is according to Bleacher Report. I'll show you the video in a second. 19 years old, took the gold in 1 minute, 50.73 seconds. He beat Phelps' benchmark by 0.78 seconds. Here's what it looked like.
Well, he's going to be the biggest thing in Hungary, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at this. He's like a dolphin, way ahead.
That's his Wolfgang Puck. Has there been a story this big?
I think it's good to be... Great. It's good to do this in a smaller country, right? Because you get all the accolades, right?
Sure.
Well, the ruler there is a dictator, so if he'd been third place, that might have been the salt mine. I bet he was highly motivated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Orban, not one of the nicer guys.
He had to get it done.
He destroyed the world record.
Yeah, Phelps set his most recent record in 2009 in Rome. Phelps retired from swimming following the 2016 Olympics in Rio. He is the most decorated Olympian of all time. He won 28 medals in total at the Games. 23 were gold.
What did he beat Phelps' record by?
0.78 seconds.
It's not insignificant, right?
No, we saw the line. We're just watching the thing. You know, the line that goes along.
Oh, was that Phelps?
That's the record, and he was a half body length ahead of it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
So he was crowned European champion a year ago, but the world record stands as his finest career achievement yet. I'm sure we're going to be hearing about him.
Let me hit Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at home, and that's why there is Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. SimplySafe.com/Adam is where you go. All right, Gina, do a couple more.
All right, well, just days after the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, India's Space Research Organization, they launched their first mission to the moon. The launch of an unmanned spacecraft is scheduled to land on the far side of the moon September 7th. It will make India the fourth country to successfully land on the moon, joining U.S., Russia, China. India hopes to fly a manned mission to the moon within the next 3 years. Yeah, the rocket's lunar lander will spend 14 days on the moon searching for water and minerals and scouting out a good place for future landings and future people trying to get off this rock.
Like, it'd be nice if everybody just got their shit together in that department and did all that stuff and then came down and shared their data and findings and pictures and moon dust and all that crap with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like tired of us towing the line all the time.
Yeah.
I mean,
India's finally paying their fair share.
Yeah, just whatever it was. Like, I don't know. I guess there's a couple of countries that do that, but most don't. They just wait. Just wait for us to spend a bunch of money and have a bunch of guys burn up on a launch pad and stuff like that. And then we share it with them.
It's a little easier to do now, by the way. You know, the fourth. Not that I'm against their space program, but it becomes a national pride thing, too. It's like, well, we can build nuclear missiles that go to the moon. So, all right, go to the moon.
Yeah, but when your national pride becomes like, you know, you see like the they're doing the marathon. And they're at hour 23, and they're packing up all the barricades and everything. Is that one fat chick in the back with cerebral palsy? And they're going, come on, Annie, come on. I don't know. How much pride? You know what I'm saying? That's India, their space program. You know what I mean? Like, she finished.
Yeah.
She finished.
But
right.
It's all about beat Pakistan. You know, that for them. That,
yeah, just local rivalry.
There we go. We won.
But you always cry harder when you see her pass the finish line than the first person pass the finish line.
Right.
She has heart.
But I'm saying the Kenyans have checked into the hotel. Yeah. They ate their meal. They got their rub down now. they're going to the airport.
They're getting ready for the next marathon.
they've started the next
one.
Mm-hmm.
So this video went viral. The only reason I'm showing it is because no information that anybody died. But a bull bison reminded tourists at Yellowstone National Park Monday why you don't get that close to the park's inhabitants. Don't show it just yet. A group of about 50 tourists approach a wild bison. Really wanted that closer look, that selfie, that good picture to post online. At one point, getting within 10 feet of it. Now, this animal clearly felt threatened, charged the crowd, tossed a 9-year-old girl into the air. The girl was taken to the hospital for treatment. The extent of her injuries not released, but that is all the information they have. But check this out, and we should put this up too.
I don't know, looking at this giant bull bison. It's getting a running. Oh,
whoa.
Wow, did it toss? It ragdolled her, man.
She went airborne.
That's a good story for a 9-year-old, though. She landed all right.
On our feet.
It's possible. Joel McHale's dad.
Here's the thing. You don't get near these things because even in mascot trim, they can't be controlled. They can't even control their own, and they bottle fed that thing since it was a cub, a calf, or whatever. If you can't find a college mascot version of one that you can control.
Instead of Yellowstone.
Stay away from the ones in the wild.
It's Disney's fault because all these movies that anthropomorphize animals. Oh, they're like people. That one's the dentist. You know, and they're like, fuzzy and fun. And then cut to their brain is like, kill that.
I'm also trying to think the fluffy animals we feel we can come up and cuddle with.
Kitty cats,
Ralphie,
tigers, lions.
Ralphie the buffalo.
Yeah, the
mezcal. Down a few feet.
The short-haired stuff or just the skin stuff.
Yeah, scaly.
Stay away from the snakes and the gators and all that kind of stuff. The big fluffy. We think we can go over there and hug them.
Yeah. And it's the animation trick. If they have big eyes, they're nice. If they have little eyes, they're a villain. And if you look at any real animal, eyes aren't that big. Not smiling.
So that chick probably didn't quite stick the landing, the 9-year-old, but
given the circumstances, it was still very impressive.
That's a fun ass story. You're older.
And you have
show
video?
That story.
That's me.
Yeah. And if you ever feel like that girl who was 9 who was ragdolled by the buffalo, if she ever feels like she doesn't want to go into work one day, she just send that to her boss. My back is...
My sciatica's acting up.
Yeah, it's a little... Yeah, I mean, yes, I'm 41 now. That was when I was 9, but you don't...
You don't think that's an effect?
You don't ever really recover from that.
Free bison burgers for life, I think. I'll chip in.
Is it rainy today? I think it's raining outside. I can feel it. Anyway, I can't come in. By the way, this weekend, that'll be today... I'll be at Montclair at the Canyon, and that'll be with me and Adam Ray doing stand-up, and then Pasadena, and then Agora Hills as well. That'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday today, Saturday and Sunday. Oh, Adam Ray is not at Montclair. Sorry, he'll be
Monterey.
He'll be in Pasadena, he'll be in Agora Hills, and then Monterey, where I'm getting my driver's license. So if anyone wants to meet me at the DMV, I will be in a fire suit. I did get, I got the cool shirt. Charles got me a cool shirt. One of those shirts you put on that has all the water jacket vessels going through it and then a cooler.
Oh, the actual cool shirts.
Like Charles doesn't do anything cool.
Yeah, and then you put the cooler where the passenger seat would go and it pumps the cold water.
That's awesome.
So you don't overheat in the car.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
So we talk a lot about auctions and auction houses on here, and you might not be the biggest Madonna fan, but this is interesting.
This came up in my brain for Brian. It's good hot tequila talk.
Let's hear it.
The Ferris Bueller Ferrari, California 250. Cameron's dad's car replica. They never used a real one. The replica is up for sale.
Okay.
And so is the Vanilla Sky Tom Cruise Ferrari GTO.
Both those are
coming up in Long Pebble Beach, coming up this auction about 3 weeks.
The one that was used in the movie, that is a replica.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And
that's pretty cool.
But it's called this one is the hero car. It's like the main car from the movie. And the GTO Ferrari from
Vanilla Sky.
Vanilla Sky, which would be, in today's world, $60 million if it was a real GTO Ferrari, is now
but a stunt
the one
Ferrari,
they used in the movie.
Crashed
it,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He doesn't breathe on it. He doesn't drive it. He just rubs it with a diaper.
Both coming up.
That's awesome. Well, a longtime Madonna collaborator has leaked demo tapes from her Like a Prayer years to keep an auction house from making a lot of money off of it. That's the whole goal. So Patrick Leonard, who co-wrote and produced a lot of her early works, he uploaded demos of Like a Prayer and Cherish on Monday night. He said he was doing it to cut down the value of the master tapes, which are part of the auction that Madonna tried to stop and couldn't stop. Leonard captioned his uploads, quote, "Not cool at all that someone would sell it, not theirs to sell." So we don't hear about that, like undercutting and undermining at the auction house.
If it was not theirs to, like, literally their property, Adam, you know auctions better than us, obviously. Wouldn't they be not allowed to?
Well, she, the auction house, she tried. Madonna tried, and the judge said no.
What I'm saying is there must be some legal basis for them to sell it, I would imagine.
Well, in the car world, you have paperwork and pink slips and stuff, and you own it. And then if it's questionable, they won't sell it. Like, we don't know if there's some dispute over who owns it. They won't. They'll withdraw it from the auction. Also, we live in a weird world where if you put a bunch of stuff in a storage unit and then you miss three payments, they just cut the lock and auction off whatever's
storage
in it.
Wars.
And for some reason, you can't just pay your bill and get it back. I'm not sure why the law works that way. Like, it's a storage unit full of my stuff. And yes, I do owe $700 to the place that has the storage unit. So how about we just settle up and I get my shit back? And people are like, no. It's now the public's.
You can bid on it.
It's kind of weird, right?
Like, yeah.
So I don't know who owned it or what it was, but good.
But specifically trying to drive the price down. Speaking of the price, an Australian man has been caught with $140 million of methamphetamine hidden in boxes after he crashed into a parked police car.
Wow.
That's a move. Wow.
This is serendipitous because I was watching TJ Hooker last night, right?
Was there a Partridge Family crossover?
Well, there is. It's on after the Partridge Family. And they were smuggling... T.J. Hooker, they're smuggling meth in a PCP or crack or whatever it's all. They're putting
the drug of the day.
Like the liquid form on those tanks that go outside of Jeeps, right? Like, remember those extra fuel tanks that sit above they sit above the front tire of the Jeep next to the door, and the guy's driving, the bad guy, the drug kingpin's driving it away. T.J. Hooker shoots it twice, and the liquid elephant tranquilizer starts hitting the guy in the face. And TJ's like, now he's getting a taste of what it's like to be a junkie. And the guy's like, and it's like, hit him. And he starts having a bad trip.
Yeah.
And TJ's like, doesn't feel so good, does it, scum?
Street justice.
Best PSA ever.
And he drives the Jeep like into the bay. And TJ's sitting there with Adrian's med. And he's like, he got a taste of his own medicine. It was insane. But
wow.
I was watching it last night thinking this is not probable.
Art imitates life. The 28-year-old crashed into a police vehicle parked outside a Sydney police station, causing significant damage. And around an hour later, for some reason, police pulled the man over, searched the van.
Max Zapata, TJ Hooker, must have aired last night. What did we figure out? It was on TV, TiVo TV or True TV. Or
FETV.
Right. And... He'd followed him down to the LA River, and when the drug transaction was going. By the way, you forget all those 80s cop shows and 70s cop shows. Like, there'd be some kid stealing a Schwinn, and he'd go, "Hey, kid, stop!" And the kid'd go, "No!" And he'd pull his gun out and just like firing rounds at the kid. Like, we used to just watch cop shows where, like, if somebody ran away,
we'll stop you.
Get that gun out. Unload, man. Like, it would seem insane now. Now we have cops. I mean, they're getting water dumped on their head and everything. They can't move. They can't do anything. Yeah. But if anyone would try to run away from TJ Hooker, he'd just pull his gun out and just start shooting at him. So he shot the tank, and the guy drug pin got a taste of his own medicine.
We
sir.
Found it. Hold on.
Oh, you found it?
I'll just tell you, this ended up being 600 pounds of methamphetamine. He's been charged with large commercial drug supply and negligent driving.
Why did it take him an hour to like figure it out when the car full of drugs slams into the cruiser?
I looked everywhere. I thought, where is that missing hour? Is that? But apparently he scuttled away.
He didn't have a TJ Hooker on the case.
He certainly did not.
Oh, okay, so here's the drug kingpin.
Oh, here we go.
He's driving the Jeep now.
White guy.
TJ.
Boss Hogg.
TJ shot the tank full of liquid, I don't know, PCP or something, and it's leaking in his face. Sorry, go ahead and play it. Just shooting at him. This is all in Sherman Oaks or like Studio City. Then they switch to like Long Beach. You know, if you live out here, it ruins it.
We don't have any hills.
But he's getting sprayed by his own drugs. He's going to get a taste of what he's been doing to these kids on the street.
And I was down at San Pedro.
And TJ knows what's going on somehow from 100 feet behind in a Ford Fury.
He's starting to feel it.
He's having a bad trip now.
Jack Weston, drug dealer. I had no idea. a little swerving now to throw
TJ. Now you can tell.
TJ's aware now what's going on.
The bridge that Tony Scott threw himself off.
That's the justice squint there by Shatner. He's had enough.
He's laughing maniacally.
He's having a bad trip.
He's going for the pier. Must be crazy.
They're in San Clemente.
Your whole part is the obvious. It looks like he's going to the pier.
Hold on, roll that back for 1 second. You'll hear TJ. Not all the way back. Just for it. He'll say it. He'll say it.
Going for the pier. Must be crazy.
It's the PCP. He's finding out what it's like to be a junkie.
I was 80 yards.
These were top three shows. Print it.
Oh, PLB. Look at that filter.
He's going nuts. He's going into the bay. I was watching the shit out of this last night.
PLB shot.
He went in and then they had to sort of figure out whether they want to save him or not.
Yeah, did he survive?
Guys like that getting kids hooked on smack make TJ sick.
He'll just find his way out of the system.
But TJ can't play God.
So this is what happened in Australia, right?
He got the same thing. The very same.
Sprayed with PCP.
It must have been great to write scripts when there were only three channels. So what happened? Fat white guy. He's a Mexican drug lord. They're moving the liquid PCP.
I love it. So far, so good.
Hold on. This liquid PCP. I wrote it, didn't it?
Shut up, Dan.
It doesn't exist. TJ shoots it. It gets in his face. He has a bad trip, and he goes into the drink.
We're done here.
Cut, print. Right,
there we go. Let's get a table read.
Justice served.
Can you imagine TV? Like, imagine how much competition there is now. Imagine that was a hit show, and it was all there was to watch. Like when I would babysit,
your hands are tied.
It's a hell of a program.
And where was the AMC Matador 401, the greatest cop car ever, LAPD?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a quibbler about such things.
The Matador is like the worst American offering ever in the department.
There's just a weird car thing about it. They took the power steering off for the LAPD, and it turned into the best handling cop car ever in this Frankenstein experiment. Yeah.
Is it the Matador is like one of those cars that was the biggest on the outside and the smallest on the inside. Like when you were back in the day, we're not looking at a Matador.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that's the classic LAPD there.
That is the classic LAPD, but the Matador was a different car. That was a Chrysler.
I think the Blues Brothers crashed about 300 of those.
Show me a picture of the Matador.
They didn't make that a selling point, right? You don't advertise that it's big on the outside and little on the inside.
No, the
I think it was it's free. Take it off the lot,
right.
Please. Was
no, like a four-door VW Rabbit was like small on the outside and big on the inside.
That's
like
what you want.
That the Matador, which Max Pat will find a AMC Matador maybe, and show me that. You'll see a huge car that's a two-door that has no room in it at all. Punch in 79 AMC Matador and let's see what
Caitlin's bringing it up right now.
Comes up. All right. I want to give a plug to Mike's podcast, Hacks on Taps with Mike Murphy and David Axelrod. And it's available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Subscribe, rate, and review. And shoot Mike a tweet at Mike Murphy as well. All right, seconds left. Here we go. AMC, nope.
That's not a cop car.
Oh, they must have changed. 79 AMC Matador?
I think two or three different ones. It was the early 70s. One was the LAPD one.
Oh, I'm thinking of the later. I'm thinking of the later Matador.
Oh, my God. It's exciting.
Not bad. 80 AMC?
We have found a good rabbit hole here.
Two-door Matador?
Yeah, so the 74 models of the Matador will be the last year that LAPD purchased them.
And they, no, I don't want LA. Stop writing LAPD no, if you're just, writing it.
I'm not writing that. Oh, okay. You know, when we showed you the LAPD Matador, you said that one was different. Well, that one was a 74 earlier.
Oh, my God. It's exciting.
Gina, please.
If you punch in a show. If you punch in 1980 AMC Matador, huh?
Well, if we have $500, we can have one by tomorrow.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Go to the one to the right. Sorry. To the right. AMC Matador. Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Two-door Matador. What am I missing? Why are we finding so many different cars?
Oh, like a gremlin mated with a whale of some kind.
But two-door AMC Matador, is that car or is it another car? Anyway, we'll figure it out.
Oh, my God. It's exciting.
What's a 79 look like then? Or maybe they didn't make them. All right, where were we? Go to amcarolla.com for all the live stuff, live shows. Mike, pleasure. Come back anytime,
man.
And get us caught up. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Mike Murphy and Dan Dunn and Gina Grad and Bald Brian. Say it. Mahalo. My hat! My precious hat!
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Also give him a thumbs up on Facebook over there. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And for tickets and info on everything, the Ace Man unprepared all weekend, go to AdamCarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.